Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I am going to be doing something different today than I normally do, and that is going to be discussing prisons today in relationship to the upcoming Armageddon, nationally and globally. The United States of America is a representative democracy elected by citizens. The people are the government. What we create, we should be able to control. So what does the Bible say about power and corruption? Corruption is expressed in mind, conscience, and character. The Bible states that true righteousness of God prevents corruption, but it hasn't happened. According to scriptures, corruption is spiritual and moral deprivation resulting from disobedience to law of God. This is the government which has corrupted the very existence of humanity, fairness, and neutrality in manner of which people are judged and sentenced. The worldly governments will be judged by God for disobedience, lies, corruption, and deception. So don't be misled by the evil. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places in this world." So let's discuss Bible scriptures versus injustices inflicted upon the incarcerated. We all know that the Bible is very symbolic, and a lot of people don't understand it because of the terms used. So we're going to start off with the biblical meaning of the floods that are mentioned in the Bible. The floods that are mentioned can be found at Amos chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. Temptations, sorrows, that's what the flood indicates, temptations and sorrows. When it speaks about the sand, and you can find that at Genesis 22, verses 17, uncounted multitudes, which means the people throughout the world. And when it speaks of the trees, which can be found at Isaiah 65, verse 22, and also chapter 10, verse 17 and 19, the trees are indicating the people. When it speaks of the forest, it's talking about the entire world. And that can be found at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17. When it talks about the sea, it's also talking about the world. And that can be found at Amos 8:12. When it speaks about the waters, they're talking about the people, the nation, and the tongues. They're talking about the people, nation, and the tongues. Remember that when they speak of waters. And that can be found at Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. When it talks about the stars, it's talking about the angels. That can be found at Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. When it speaks about the beast, which can be found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 17, and Revelation 11, it talks about the kings and the kingdoms, which right now we're hearing a lot about, all these kingdoms and kings coming together, taking sides between Ukraine and Russia and other countries. When it speaks about the grass in Isaiah 40, verse 7, it talks about the people again. And when it talks about the wind, which can be found in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 14, and Daniel 11, verse 40, and Jeremiah chapter 49, 36. The wind is the war and the strife. When it talks about the bear in the Bible is talking about Medo-Persia, and that can be found in Daniel chapter 5, verse 21 to 31. Medo-Persia. When it speaks about the lion, it's talking about Babylon, which can be found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. Babylon is very important because right now we're in the middle of trying to figure out exactly which country is Babylon. And I won't say what I think because it's my opinion. But this world is soon to come to its end, and Babylon will be penalized and held accountable. The leopard mentioned in the Bible is talking about Greece. and that can be found at Daniel chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. Now, the terrible beast that's mentioned in the Bible, talking about the Roman kingdom, and that can be found at Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, and John chapter 11, verse 48. When it talks about the apparel or the fine linens that are mentioned, that is the righteousness of the saints. And many of these saints have been murdered, have been killed, have been terrorized, tormented, tortured. And that can be found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We are going over these things because I want everyone to try to understand a little bit about what's going on in the Bible and what's going on with the government. Now, a lot of people have seen where Jesus, a statement made in the Bible about Jesus carrying the government on his shoulder. Many people think that it's something that's good, Jesus carrying the government on his shoulder. But if everybody remembers, it was the government that executed the Christ Jesus, that beat him, threw him into prison, made him carry his own cross to his own death, put the thorns on his forehead. I remember traveling one time. I went to, I believe it was Guatemala at the time. I was going to a Mayan Indian school. And I went to this church, and next to the church is another, it looked like a church, but when you go in, there's the Christ Jesus on the cross, and there's candles all around, and there's benches around the edge, but it wasn't actually a church. And behind that building was a cemetery where all these children and all these adults had died of, I guess it was scarlet fever or whatever. But when I looked at the figure hanging on that cross and the blood that was shed, he was tormented. He was tortured. When they whipped him, they used these things that had balls at the end, wooden balls that ripped him apart. Now, the reason I say this is because there's so much to this whole entire thing about the government. So I want to go back to who appointed the judges in the Bible. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 18 to 20, Moses instructed the people to appoint judges and officials in their various towns upon entering the promised land. And what did God require of those chosen to be judges or officials? To appoint the judges and officials for themselves from each of their own tribes in all the towns of the Lord. But they must judge the people fairly. They must never twist justice or show partiality. They must never accept bribes, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt decisions of the godly. Look at Samuel. He was a judge, a priest, and a prophet. And Samuel, he was judged as righteous. He did everything right. But when he got old and it was time to reappoint, and he was going to hand it down to his son, that's when everybody was very upset, because they knew the sons were not godly people. They knew the sons would listen to what their friends were telling them how to rule. And their friends and they were going to make it more difficult for those that they ruled over. So they wanted, the people of that place wanted a king after the manner of the Gentiles. So Samuel was very hurt. He went to God, because at that time, God was the king. God was the one that was in control of everything. And Samuel was upset. He felt really bad. But God told him, don't feel bad. They're not objecting to you. They're objecting to me. You know, they're not turning against you. They're turning against me. So this is when they started having kings and judges come in. Sadly to say. But these are the things that we have to look at now. This corruption that was spoken of in the Bible, is happening today. And also the fact that in Genesis, when God told Noah the world would never be destroyed by flood again, but by the next time it would be by fire. I don't know if you keep in contact with the, or keep up with the news, but as many of you probably know, Texas is burning up. Texas is burning up. And look at, even in Massachusetts, we have been having 90-degree weather, which is very, very rare in this state. But we have to look at all these fires in California. We have to look at these nuclear weapons that they're preparing and they're testing, more so now than ever before. It wouldn't be by flood again, it would be by fire. And the reason the flood took place in the beginning was because God was very disappointed when he saw that the sons of God were mingling and mixing with the daughters of man, when he saw all the injustices going on. And I'm going to tell you, in the very beginning, Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And that's how we were all born into this sin. But if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it talks about how Satan ended up in this world. It talks about Satan, one of the angels of God, being thrown out of heaven onto the earth. And this is where all this disaster came. Now, we have to look at something else. People in prison, you and society may say, well, they deserve to be in prison. They're evil. They're no good. But now there's two kinds of spirits, as it says in Ephesians. It says in Ephesians, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places in this world. Now, what are the high places in this world? We have the government that rules the world, governments all over the world. And we have the very, very wealthy. And we live in a country and a world that the majority of people are looking at greed. They're looking at money. They can't get enough of it. We're watching TV sometimes, and we're looking at these children in places like Sudan and other countries of Africa, Central America. We're looking at all these people who are starving, bugs all over their faces. These children are hitting the bugs away from their faces. And where is all this money going these days from even this country? We have to look at the reality of it. There should be no poverty in the world if we were all willing to share. How many times have planes gone over to other countries with so much room that they could be filling those planes with food and clothing? They could be filling these planes with things that were donated by people in this country. I've paid a fortune sometimes to send little things over to people in Ghana because I was in Ghana at one time. And then I couldn't even afford the postage. But if we were all to share what we have, and if we had a government that was willing to help get these things over to these countries without charging, there would be no poverty. There are so many people that have so much to donate, food, clothing, gifts, games, blankets, furniture. This is all so sad that we are living in a country and in a world that could care less about others. Yet we have a government that is quick to throw their own citizens in prison and even take away their rights to vote. Take away their rights to vote when they have done nothing to do anything wrong with their country, but yet those who have done a lot of damage to their country, as I call domestic terrorism, get a slap on the hand. They don't lose their rights to vote, and they're still out there doing the same old thing. I can't believe that we have a government that puts everybody in prison and throws away the key. There's people in prison, 2.3 million people in prison. Thousands of wrongfully convicted. Thousands and thousands of first-time offenders, victims who became offenders. We have a government that takes sides. We have a corrupt government that targets individuals behind those prison walls. They torment them. They try to mess with their minds, their bodies, their spirits. We have people in the communities judging without even knowing all the facts, just based on what they hear from others who do not know those individuals. The media reports one-sided stories. They don't go into the prisons to meet with these incarcerated individuals, but they are so quick to report what they hear from the government, from law enforcement, from prison officials. And we all know that these people lie through their teeth. Our taxpayer dollars are going to the Department of Corrections around the country. And what are these prisoners being fed? Garbage. Who's getting the good food? Who's getting the expensive food that the taxpayers are paying? We all know that everybody is human. Just because someone wears a uniform or has a title does not exempt them from being just as human and criminal-like as anybody else. A murderer is not forgiven by the blood of Christ. Okay, John, 1 John 3:15. It says, and when John wrote this, he said, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. A murderer is not forgiven by the blood of Christ. The rest of the Bible affirms that Jesus' blood paid for all sin, including the sins of murder. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He was called Saul and later became the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer who killed many Christians, and God forgave him. David was a murderer, killing Uriah, one of his loyal soldiers, and impregnating his wife. And that's why he killed him. He killed him because he got a man's wife pregnant and didn't want to blur his reputation. So he killed Uriah, had him killed. Peter wrote that believers should not suffer as a murderer. In fact, the most evil and unjust murder that ever occurred on earth was the murder of the Son of God. Yet during his torture and murder, Jesus exclaimed to his Father, forgive them not, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. If these men could be forgiven for murdering the Son of God, then surely all sins can be forgiven. So many of you who just hate anyone that's incarcerated or anyone that has committed crime, and you don't know that person, then you are just as much of a murderer. Now, the sad thing is there are victims in the communities, and these victims have a right to be upset or have a right to fear or have a right to just be hate. At first, yes, they will hate. And they came out with something called restorative justice to bring the prisoners, the offenders, and the victims together so that they can talk about it, so that they can have some kind of closure. But in order to do something like that, we have to have neutrality in the media, in government. We have to have judges. We have to have people in the courtroom who are not taking sides. Unfortunately, they do. And this is where so many people have lost their lives to the death penalty, to suicide, even to homicides in the prisons. Because I know that many people incarcerated, and not just by other prisoners, but let's talk about the staff. I remember, and I say this a lot, these prisoners that were in Pennsylvania, in Smithville, Pennsylvania, that were kept in the hole, crying for help. And again, I try to get help. I try to contact ACLU and some of the legislative members. These people were being abused, and they were crying out for help. and no one would listen. And I'm sorry to say it's happening even now. No one will listen. And one by one, they died. And one by one, the prison officials claimed it was suicide. One of them was due to get out 5 months before his alleged suicide. He was taken out of Smithville Prison. He was put in Frackville Prison for a couple of days, and then they brought him back. Why they sent him there, no one knows. But that same night, he committed suicide. Then another one, a month later, same thing. They alleged it was suicide. All kept in the hole in the same prison, the same area. And then when the third one was alleged to have committed suicide, that's when all of a sudden one of the legislative members goes before the meeting and says had she known about it, she would have had a private investigation, an independent investigation. I contacted her many times, called her office, sent emails, everything. She completely ignored me and had the nerve to say had she known about it. And then she started talking about the bodies being cremated, which not one body was cremated. I sent a message, and I asked her to talk to the family members before she reports about any cremations, because none of the bodies were cremated. And I'm sure she hated me even more, because I'm not supposed to be telling her these things. She's supposed to know it. I guess I hurt her little pride. But there's so many people in society today that are doing the same thing. They're completely ignoring the cries of the incarcerated, men, women, and youth. They're completely ignoring their cries for help. And yet, even lawyers, and yet when somebody commits suicide or is alleged to have committed suicide or dies in prison, then all of a sudden all these lawyers come forward. They want to sue. They want to represent the families of the deceased. But where were they when they were the deceased? Where were they when they were crying out for help? They were nowhere to be found. I know lawyers who were willing to help a prisoner one time over and over again. They were willing to help a prisoner until they heard the name. Once they heard the name of the prisoner, they completely decided not to represent him. Not because the prisoner did anything different than any other prisoner. As a matter of fact, the crime he committed was instant. And it was done at a time when he was severely depressed. But yet, the connections the family had, even one of the family members worked for the Department of Corrections, connected with a lot of the people that work for the Department of Corrections. And I understand she recently passed away about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Someone said she was a Christian. This is a Christian that lied, even lied to me one time. But yet her peers, corrupt peers, continue to do the dirt that she started and the rest of the family started to make the person's life miserable throughout the years that he has been in prison. And the sad thing about it is it was their own attitude, their own actions that caused this individual to stumble. An individual that never had enemies, that worked hard since his early youth days, put himself through school, took care of his body, kept himself clean and healthy, never did drugs or alcohol, never was involved with the law. What have they done throughout the years? They paralyzed him. They caused him permanent damage. They prevented him from getting magazines or catalogs or anything that can be read. They're trying to mess up his mind. First, the body, damage the body, and then mess up the mind. And then they can say a person committed suicide, when in fact, this was their intention right along. To make someone so miserable, to cause them so much pain, sorrow, because of connections. Someone they didn't even know or don't even know, who never had enemies, who was always respected, quiet, well-mannered. You know, in the Bible, there are 61 verses, people being in prison. I was in prison and you visited. Or I was in prison and you didn't visit. This was the Christ Jesus saying all this. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Let's go back to the food now in the prison. They give them garbage. Thirsty? The waters in the prison, if anybody took the time, any government leaders took the time to go into these prisons and check out the water. But what will happen is these government officials, when they go into the prisons, they're not going to be directed to the same water that these prisoners are directed to. They're going to be taken to a room where the staff have their own water fountains, their own clean, pure water. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous are going to say, the answer, Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the Christ Jesus said, when you do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done it for me. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. These are some things, 61 verses about these things. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 3. It's in the book of Matthew 25, 31 to 46. The book of Matthew 25 to 36. It's all over the Bible. How many of you actually go to church or read the Bible? You know, there are a lot of people that go to church and read the Bible and come out and start judging people that are less fortunate than them. In the prisons, you're going to find people that were traumatized as children, traumatized as adolescents. You're going to find children that grew up in the streets, in the cities, amongst all kinds of drugs, drug-infested cities. You're going to find kids that grew up in homes where there was so much domestic violence. They saw so many beatings. They saw so much alcoholism, drugs. They were beaten themselves or violated. We have a government that we look to for leadership when, again, we are the government. The people are the government, electing people to run the country. And look what we're getting. We're getting parties that are divided and using the American people to justify their actions against one another. We're looking at legislative members in different states and governors in different states who operate so differently in the way they treat their incarcerated individuals. In Texas, Governor Abbott, handicapped, in a wheelchair, so miserable that that's where the death penalty is the highest, in Texas. Misery loves company is what they used to say. And how many times after people have been executed have we heard that they were innocent? How many innocent people have governors put to death in states where they have the death penalty? Yet they get away with it. Is that justice? Is that equality? They talk about these immigrants coming over to this country, and yet we had Governor DeSantis, who obviously recently changed the spelling of his name. Is that because maybe if you look under the right spelling of his name, you're going to find a lot of dirt against him? Governor DeSantis and Governor Abbott were bringing immigrants over to this country to make a point, and they were sending those immigrants to Massachusetts, to New York, and they're still coming over. And people are saying these people are coming over illegally. We got people in our own country, a government in our own country that's bringing them over purposely, bringing them in as prey, offering them jobs and everything else just so they can prove a point to their opposition party. But I want to say we are in the final days, and we know for a fact. We know for a fact. In the book of Timothy, chapter 1 to 10, it talks about critical times hard to deal with. We're in that time. We are in critical times hard to deal with, and yet people don't see it. People do not see it. One of the things that's going to happen is it doesn't only talk about critical times hard to deal with, but it also talks about, in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, it brings up the year 2300. Now, you may say, well, 2300, what does that have to do with 2023? If you look in the book of Matthew in the Bible, God has said, unless the days be shortened, none of my elect will be saved. So we already know that he is going to shorten the time that we are going to be existing in this world. Unless the days be shortened, none of his elect will be saved. So in the book of Daniel and in our current year, we are in the year 2000, 2300 versus 2023. But if the days are going to be shortened, we have to look for the signs of the times mentioned in the Bible. And what God said, he said, when you can tell when there's going to be a storm just by looking up at the sky. And look, we've all been hearing about the smoke in the air from the fires coming in from Canada, fires coming in from all these places, the heat. We can tell when there's going to be some bad weather or some strange thing happening in the air. God said, if you can see all these things and you can discern these things happening, you should be able to discern the signs of the time. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to start looking at the signs of the time. It also says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I hear so often that if there was nuclear weapons started from any country, that there's going to be a world war. There's going to be a world war. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing all these countries starting to test their nuclear weapons more so and quicker than previously. So we have to look at these things that are happening around us. Again, like they say in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times, for men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are all things that are happening now. People are so bent on money. They're so bent on being proud. They're so bent on keeping up with their peers. They're so bent on a lot of these things. You know, they just want to look good about themselves, hang around with people that they think are above God, because that's basically what it is. They came into this world with nothing. They're going to go out with nothing, but yet they want to keep up with their peers. They want to please those that have something more than them. People are afraid to do anything because they're afraid of what others are going to say. Do you know others are just as insecure as you? The only difference is when you start doing these things to please them, then they're going to get this proud attitude. Well, I don't have to worry about feeling insecure because they're more insecure than me. That's what they're thinking. That's what they're saying. There are people in prison who don't even belong in prison. You know, wrongfully convicted, but there's also people in prison who made a mistake, one mistake. And what did they get? Again, they either got the death penalty, life, or life without parole. They've had every right taken from them, many of them in there being abused or violated. And our government leaders that are supposed to be helping these people, because these people, just as well as anybody else, are constituents. They're citizens of the United States. And then you have the government taking away even that, their rights to vote, when they have done nothing to the country. You know, this it doesn't make sense. Bible says one thing and man does another. The Christ Jesus isn't telling us to have these people running our countries, our world. But what he's saying is, since you've already decided you want a judge, since you've already decided you want a king above the Most High, this is what's going to happen. And he actually told the people what would happen in the end, how the government would use their sons and daughters to go off into war, to do all these things. You know, it's sad because we have turned, instead of helping to bring awareness and helping to make positive changes in this country and around the world, we have allowed these people to go on with all the injustices, throwing people in prison, making money off of them, all these big corporations making money off of these incarcerated individuals, beating them, moving them around to all different places, not giving them any kind of peace or comfort, trying to divide them with their families, writing up bogus reports, putting many in solitary confinement on restrictive blocks, whichever they decide they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and no one challenges them. We have a high rate of suicides in this country, high rate of suicides. And we have a high rate of human rights violations in this country. But yet no one challenges anybody. Again, God did not appoint government. What he did say, though, is since these people are going to be ruling our country, we have to listen to them. We have to do whatever they want us to do. Unless it involves turning us against the Most High. And God himself said not to do that. But God is saying, since these people are going to be ruling the world, do what they want you to do. Follow their orders. Because as he says in the book of Romans, vengeance is his. So what we need to do is try to stay connected with our brothers and sisters worldwide. Try to love one another the best we can. Try to forgive whenever we can. Try to do the right thing. Because God is going to take over and he's going to hold all of these people in government, in other areas. He's going to hold them accountable. Prisoners around the world right now, behind those prison walls, they're getting their punishment now. So when that day of judgment comes, they won't have to go through it again. It'll be the people that put them through it in the first place. We have government leaders that they don't remain neutral. They will go with the multitude to do evil, as it says in Exodus 23, verses 1-3. Thou shalt not go with the multitude to do evil against an individual. Thou shalt not lie. Witnesses shall not go into court and lie about these individuals. And I know many who have gone into court and lied through their teeth. There was one girl, one woman, who was cheating on the man she was with. He was the first time in a first-time relationship. She had been around. She had a foul mouth on her. Words that come out of her mouth you wouldn't hear from a man. I called it trash, to tell you the truth. And this individual in court turned it all around, that this individual she was with had been involved in relationships prior to. The thing is, who's going to challenge it? Unless you have a good lawyer, and unfortunately this individual, the defendant, did not have a good lawyer. He had a corrupt lawyer. So again, we're going back into corruption, lies and deception. But getting back to the final days, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall be coming in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. See, because the flood was so many thousands of years ago, when people say the last days, we don't believe it because the flood was so many years and years ago. But then it says, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the earth that then was being overflowed with water perished. That was when the flood occurred, and everybody was laughing at Noah because Noah was building an ark. And there was no rain back in those days. There was no rain. The mist came up from the ground. The water came up from the ground, but there was no rain at the time. So the people thought Noah was crazy. You know, you're up here building an ark for what? Noah was trying to warn them and tell them. And they didn't listen. So when that flood took place, and God said the next time would be by fire. So it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that. Because what I'm going to say is, when Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them, he says, you knock this temple down and I will rebuild it in 3 days. They didn't know what he meant. He was talking about himself, because when they put him on the cross, they beat him and they put him on the cross. They put him, the rich man that had a lot of love for the Christ Jesus, although he wasn't one of his apostles, he wanted the body of the Christ Jesus to put in his cave, which he was a wealthy person. The cave was the roll away the stone and put the Christ in there. And so the government allowed him to do so. 3 days after being in that cave, when one of the apostles and one of the women went to the cave, they found the stone had rolled away and the cave was empty. The Christ was not in there. 3 days later. So what the Christ meant was, and you destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. As many of us know, 3 days, they say a day is like a year, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. There's a lot of symbolic numbers in the Bible too. like the number 40. 40 days in the wilderness because of disobedience. Then you have the 40 days that the Christ Jesus was tempted by Satan. We have so many 40s that have so much meaning. And we have the number 7, which is 7 is completion. And when it talked about the world when it was first created, it was created in 7 days. It was created in 6 days, but on the 7th day, it was finished. You know, we have so much in these numbers that we have to realize when it talks about evenings or days in the Bible, many times it's symbolic of years. So we're looking into 3 days the Christ resurrected. We're looking at almost 3 years, 3,000 years that the Christ was crucified. Okay, almost 3,000 years. Again, we're going to look back at what Daniel says, 2,300 evenings. We're going to look back at what it says in Matthew, unless the days be shortened, none of my elect will be saved. So we have to start looking at all of these things. We're coming into the 3,000 years that the Christ was crucified and resurrected. It's not fully the 3,000, but we're coming up to that 3,000. And again, unless the days be shortened, none of his elect will be saved. So we have to start looking at what's going on right now. If the government, the wealthy, the corrupt, the lies, the deception, if it doesn't stop now, we know that the government's in for a big surprise. But how about you, me, and others? What about us? Are we doing anything to help these people that are being persecuted, oppressed, and in the prison, thousands and thousands and thousands are being oppressed, are being afflicted? I always say, let no weapons formed against these prisoners who are suffering so much, let no weapons formed against them prosper. And every tongue that rises up against them in judgment shall be condemned. These are God's children, regardless of age, gender, or race. God created all mankind. And he is specifically close and speaks of it in the Bible scriptures, of those, the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows. So if he says this in the Bible, if these are in Bible scriptures and his prophets, by the way, if you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all scripture was inspired of God and is beneficial for teaching, reproving, setting things straight, and disciplining. The Bible was written for a specific purpose, and not everything that you read in the Bible is going to be directed at you. But you're going to find if you pray before you read the Bible and you actually ask for revelations, you will get it. We need to look at these things. We need to look at all of these things. And there are children. And when we think about the Bible, remember now, we have a Bible that you can hold in your hand. Whether it's a Quran or a Torah, whether it's the Bible of any Christian religion, it fits in your hand. Now, you know as well as I do that the Christ Jesus, all the things he did, as it says in the Bible, if everything was recorded that he did, the world could not contain the Bible. So we're looking at a Bible that was put together, that can fit in our hands, and that was very, very brief and everything it was. And people will say, too, that the Bible, once the Christ was gone and the Bible started getting revised throughout the years, that things in the Bible may have been changed. It's not about the things that may have been changed. It's about the message. The message has still been the same. Messages have still been the same. To show compassion and understanding, to show mercy and forgiveness. to act brotherly to one another, to help those who are less fortunate. And remember, when it talked about the man that was lying in the street, badly abused and or beaten or whatever, it was a priest or a pastor and a pastor that walked right by him, walked over him. It was a good Samaritan that stopped and took him to a hotel, a place to be treated. And when he left, he told the people, the keeper of the house, if you need any more money, if there's anything more that he owes, I will be traveling back. I will pay it. This was a good Samaritan. We have people in prison that have done more good for strangers than the strangers that have done so much poor to these individuals in prison. And I'll tell you another thing. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 5 to 7, it says, do not put your trust in family or companion. I know this for a fact. You can come from a close-knit family. When something happens and that member of your family goes to prison or does something wrong in situations like that, you'd be surprised how quick family will turn against you or turn against your loved one. People that you would never have expected to change their attitude or change their ways. And that is sad because everybody thinks when someone falls and stumbles and goes to prison, it was their fault. When there's so much evil in the world today that many are stumbled by the evil. And again, as I mentioned with Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, when Satan and his followers were thrown out of heaven onto the earth, it said woe to the earth because Satan knows he's got but a short time. But when we talk about the evil spirits that were thrown out of heaven, I want everybody to remember something. Remember when Jesus came into this world, he came into this world, he healed the blind, he healed the deaf, he healed the women issues, he healed the lame, the sick, he healed the possessed. Now remember this, Jesus heals the possessed. These were people who were possessed by the evil spirits, which goes to show you that there's two types of spirits in the world, the good and evil. When everybody actually thinks about the tree, the apple that Adam and Eve were supposed to have eaten, it wasn't so much fruit. That was a symbolic of a tree that contained the good and evil, because the Christ, God himself said, now they know what we know. Now they know good and evil. So anything that we do wrong now, we can't say that we didn't know, because we did know. The tree of good and evil. So again, as it says in Ephesians, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against evil spirits. We're wrestling against good and evil. There are people in prison who stated when they committed their crimes, it was like they were on the outside of their bodies looking in, and they could do nothing about what was going on. That's being possessed. And then you have people in prison who are actually of the evil. And this is why I say so often, God has his lambs amongst the wolves behind the prison walls as well as in the communities. And we have the evil in the communities as well as the good behind the prison walls. Getting back to government, how many government officials have had their own loved ones doing something illegal and are getting away with it or have gotten away with it? I know I can list a lot of them, even in this own country, this own state of mine. We have children who have been allowed to bring a plane down because of the inappropriate behaviors on the plane. People who have been caught driving under the influence, swerving all over the world, road and almost killing others. We have a president right now whose son is being accused of illegal acts. We have Donald Trump, everybody's going after for the last 7 or 8 years, claiming that he's done all these illegal things. Why has it taken 7 years when the normal citizen would take a week, if even that, and they would have been in prison? Recently on TV, we had a legislative member crash her car through somebody's yard and part of the house. The child was not wearing a seatbelt. She was driving without a license, driving an unregistered car. These are all people in politics. These are all people leading our country. So why would anyone be so quick to judge individuals behind those prison walls who have been incarcerated for years, either on a wrongful conviction or a first-time offense? People who have been traumatized, again, as children, adolescents. People who have been violated as children or adolescents. People who grew up without parents. People who grew up without siblings. People who suffered so much and yet tried so hard to do the right things, only to be stumbled by the people in the communities who were blessed enough to have siblings, have a father and mother, have something that others don't have, living a better life. But yet, because they were having all these extraordinary gifts, that they were allowed to go out and do all this dirt and get away with it, instead of thanking God for their blessings and sharing it with the very people they're trying to bring down. I don't know what else to say, but to ask all of you to start looking in your Bible, to start praying to God and asking him for wisdom and discernment. Because we are heading towards these final hours, the final minutes of the last days. And it's going to come quickly, as it says, like a thief in the night. We can't change our mind at the last minute. We can't decide at the last minute that now we understand. Now we understand. Now we want to help those incarcerated. Now we want to help those. The problem in this world is hatred. Hatred over racism, cultures, religions. People do not want to learn about. For example, Muslims have shown much greater respect for Jesus than Christians have shown for Muhammad. Muslims are very knowledgeable about the life of Jesus, and he is spoken of with great respect throughout the Quran. The same has not been the case for the traditional attitudes of Christians towards Muhammad in history. Sadly, some of these prejudices continue in some circles today. This is largely because of insufficient or inaccurate information about Muhammad and his life. A better knowledge of the life of Prophet Muhammad can serve well to help Christians understand why he is also known as the beloved of God. Because God told Hagar in the desert after Ishmael was born, and Sarah wanted Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael, his firstborn son, away, God told Hagar that her son also would be a great nation. So there's a reason why God chose the nation as well. And Jesus, the Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet, as was with Muhammad. And even Jesus himself said, when he was speaking, he said, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at the lack of faith that they had. So even Jesus the Christ himself said he was the prophet, as well as our Savior. Like Muhammad, Jesus spoke out frequently on behalf of the poor and the disadvantaged. The famous teaching of the Beatitudes, which were part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, where Jesus uses the word of prophet Isaiah to refer to himself as he read from the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Not only did Jesus preach this powerful message of love and justice for all the most marginalized members of society, but in his own actions, he brought these words to life. The four Gospels frequently make reference to Jesus' special compassion for the sick, the poor, and the forgotten and neglected members of society. So this is why I say that Christ Jesus himself was telling people, and today, if he was here today, would be telling all of us, to help those who are less fortunate, to free his captives, not to judge, to remain neutral in all things, to love one another, because it's he who will get vengeance on our behalf. We hear of rumors of war and wars and all of these things. That's past. That has passed. All these rumors have passed. Now we're looking right in the eyes of nuclear weapons. We're looking right in the eyes of world destruction, world war. We're remembering what was told to Noah the next time would be by fire. I was watching the news earlier today, and they were saying that this earth is at the hottest it's ever been in history. Many of you know this for a fact because you're living in states where you're feeling the heat. We're looking at these earthquakes. We're looking at tornadoes. We're looking at fires. We're looking at tsunamis. We're looking at all these things that are happening in the world today that are not even able to be controlled. We're hearing about people on planes up in the air who are acting violent. And that's not normal. That has never been in the past. So something is going on in this world today that's even affecting people when they are flying in midair. The violence that's going on. People that are crashing into houses. So many people, so many accidents that normally wouldn't be taking place. But for some reason, people are crashing into houses, going off the road, trains are turning over. These are the signs of the time that are mentioned. We need to start looking at one another and saying, what are we doing? Or what aren't we doing? We have shown nothing. We have done nothing to show God that we are reaching out to the less fortunate behind those prison walls. We are judging them, picking and choosing who will be helped and who won't be helped. Lawyers that won't take cases if they have heard something negative about one individual. People being permanently damaged behind those prison walls, and no one cares to even check into it. Contracted providers, medical providers, who are facing charges themselves in the courts. Inexperienced medical providers contracted with the Department of Corrections around the place. And many people call the Department of Corrections the Department of Corruptions. Legislative members have caught them in lies and have done nothing about it. Now, if legislative members, our leaders, can catch prison officials and guards in lies and do nothing about it, what is that telling us about those who are elected to rule our country and our states? God did not appoint judges and kings. Man did. And God just went along with it and said what he wanted to see happen, but he knew what was going to happen. And if people really search the scriptures, they are going to know. They are going to know what's going on. When Moses went up to the mountain and got the Ten Commandments from God, finally, 40 days later, when he went down, what did he find the people doing? They went and they made a calf, a golden calf, knowing that God was at the top of that mountain. The respect that they show him by carving out a calf, a golden calf. We have to look at what we're doing today. God's people may have been the Hebrews, the Jewish, but they were so disobedient to him throughout the years that when Jesus came, the Last Supper before his death with his disciples, told them he was making a new covenant. That covenant was making everyone, the Gentiles as well as the Jews, God's property, God's people. And it was all because of disobedience by the Jewish people that God decided that Gentiles and Jews alike would be his property. Now we hear about all these preachers on TV and these programs called the Jewish Jesus and everything else. Where were the Jewish Jesus when they were crying out for him to be crucified over Barabbas? He was a criminal, and they chose Jesus over Barabbas, whatever his name was, Barabbas, to be crucified. But there was so much talk about the Jews after that, that now I'm sure many of them do believe that Jesus was the Messiah, or Jesus was sent by God. Better late than never to find awareness, to understand the Bible scriptures. We have all sinned, regardless of Jews, Gentiles, whatever the case may be, we have all sinned. And we don't have much time to undo the damages that we have done, not only to ourselves, not only to others, but to God himself and the Christ Jesus, the Savior, who shed blood on our behalf. And that blood was to take away the sin that Satan brought into us, into our world, when he deceived Adam and Eve. So the Christ Jesus made up for that. And if you remember correctly, when God was talking to Satan after he deceived Adam and Eve, he said he was going to put enmity between Satan and the woman of God. He's going to put enmity. And that enmity, one would be bruised in the heel and one would be bruised in the head. The Christ Jesus was bruised in the heel when he was put up on that stake or that cross. But when he comes back into this world, Satan will be crushed in the head, destroyed forever. I want to say something real quick, too. There's been a lot of talk about UFOs on the news. I was watching a documentary the other day, and this was very, very interesting, because what happens when I was watching it, it was talking about UFOs. Let me see if I can find it, because one of the things in the book of Ezekiel, it talked about UFOs. It was talking about when it went up, the wheels did not turn. The wheels stayed straight. When it turned together. And these things were, it was very interesting, because I always used to say the same thing, that I believe that UFOs were mentioned in the Bible scriptures. Back then, people probably did not understand. They probably did not understand what they were seeing. And I believe they were actually seeing UFOs. These are some of the things that we have to look for too and listen to carefully. When we hear about the UFOs and the government doesn't even know anymore what it's all about. What did Jesus say when he went up? He was going up, lifted up into the hemisphere. And someone said, what are you looking at? To the people that were watching. And they said they were looking at the Christ Jesus going up. And they were told the same way he went up, he's going to come down. There's a lot going on. They're finding that there was possible life on some of these planets that they've been going up to investigate or to explore. There's some planets that they actually believe that life can be on those planets. We don't know what it's all about, but we do know that it's a possibility that the same way the Christ went up, he'll be coming down. And it says, when we pray the Our Father, who art in heaven, the heavens are above us. We also say, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. People may not believe it, but God's whole purpose, I believe, sending the Christ Jesus back and doing all these things, I believe that he intends for us to once again have that opportunity to be in a perfect paradise, as well as the heavenly kingdom. I don't know how it works, but I strongly believe that we will have that opportunity again. So let's start looking at these prisons. Let's start looking at these individuals that have fallen. Let's not judge them, because we're going to be judged as well. If you want to do anything in relationships to prisoners, Find advocates out there that have groups, organizations that are trying to help with prison reform and trying to help prisoners who are at their lowest peak, prisoners who have given up because they feel helpless and many hopeless. Send them some letters or cards. Even send them biblical scriptures to encourage them. To let them know that God has not deserted them. Many of us in this world have deserted them, but God would never desert them, because we're all sinners as far as the Creator knows, as far as the Creator is concerned. We're all sinners. So I hope and pray that everyone will think about what they've heard today, that they will try to help with prison reform, that they will not judge prisoners based on one-sided story, that you will try to get media involved in the prisons to meet with these incarcerated individuals, to hear their stories out, to know why they fell, to know how they're feeling now. Making one mistake is what we all did, our ancestors with the Christ. They made a mistake, and even Adam and Eve made that one mistake, eating that apple, as they say, but it was regarding doing something God told them not to do. We've all sinned. So when someone is in prison serving a life in life without parole or being put on death row because they made one mistake, that's not what God would be doing. And I hope you'll all think about that. Consider what you've heard today. Consider it. Try to do something to make changes. And again, remember, those overseeing this country, those overseeing prisoners, those overseeing all of us are human beings as well. We have good and evil in this country and around the world. Good and evil spirits working within people. Anyone can tell the difference between a good person, a good spirit, and an evil spirit. Unless they're evil themselves. So we have to look at these people who are being judged. Ask yourself, what do they do? Not what did I hear about them, but what do they actually do? Write them if you can and ask them. Some of them are just crying out to be heard, to have a voice, And in our prisons today, the incarcerated population does not get a voice. They do not have a voice. And the media tells one-sided stories. What they get inside prisons, many of them, torment and torture, deprivations, all kinds of abuses and violations. And unless you actually get involved, you do not know what they go through. It's too painful to even talk about it. So I ask everyone to please pray for these prisoners. Try to help in any way you can. And I'm going to close this with a prayer to our Creator. And this is how it goes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be able to bring awareness on this radio show today. I thank you for waking us up this morning. And I thank you for the shelter, the food and drink, both spiritual and physical, that you have provided us with. I thank you for the light that you bring into our dark storms as the Christ Jesus calmed those storms in the boat with his disciples. I thank you for opening doors of opportunities when others have closed. I thank you, Almighty Father, for the food and drink, both spiritual and physical. I thank you, Almighty Father, for breathing air into our nostrils that we may go through another day. I thank you for all of our limbs and our senses. I thank you for the wisdom and discernment that you have provided us with. Father, I thank you for giving us the chance to show you how much we can do to make you proud of us. I ask you for forgiveness of sin for myself and my loved one. Anything that we have done that has been displeasing in your eyes, I ask for forgiveness because we truly, truly are remorseful. I ask you, Father, to feed, clothe, and shelter our brothers and sisters worldwide who are less fortunate, who do not have food or clothing, or very little, who do not have shelter. I pray for those in the streets, our brothers and sisters, men, women, and youth around the country and around the world who are in the streets with no food, with no shelter, with no family. I ask you, Father, to be in the prisons with your lambs amongst the wolves. Be in the prisons with your children. Let no weapon formed against those who have suffered so much. Let no weapon formed against them prosper. And every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, please condemn. Father, you know who they are. You have watched your children. You created all of us. You have watched your children grow. You have seen everything that they have gone through in their lives. You have seen the pain and sorrow and suffering that many have gone through. And you have seen so much injustice in this country. You have seen it all. And I thank you for being able to discern. I thank you for seeing all the injustices. I thank you for knowing about all the injustice that goes on in this world. And I thank you for reassuring us that you will hold these people accountable that have done so much damage to your children who have stumbled and are behind those prison walls. I ask you to be with the babies, the toddlers, the children who are being violated as well, who are being tormented, who are being abused, and who are being murdered. I pray, dear Father, that you will end all this injustice, and I ask that you please do come quickly to end all this injustice, because I know that you have promised us something much more perfect beyond this system of things. So once again, I thank you for all these things. I pray for all those who are incarcerated that are being tormented and tortured, deprived, provoked, harassed. And I thank you for the loved ones on the outside who are hurting so much because they are feeling helpless as well. I ask, Father, that you hold accountable all of our government leaders throughout the world who have caused so much pain, sorrow, and suffering, who have neglected your children, who have done nothing to try to make changes, who have done nothing but pick and choose who they will help. I know that you want us to forgive, and I ask you to please help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. So I say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And once again, Father, I ask that you please help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will be doing on our behalf and on behalf of our loved ones throughout the world. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. We are now going to end this episode. I thank all of you for listening in. I hope that you have learned something from it, and I hope that you will do something with it. Again, we have people behind those prison walls. We have people in their own homes, the homes of others, in the communities, and elsewhere, who are being totally, totally abused, violated, who are being put through so much pain and sorrow and suffering. Pray for them, and if you can, try to learn more about them. Try to get involved in trying to make things better. We know what God wants of us, and we know that it is not to throw people in prison for the rest of their lives or to put them on death row and later find out that they were innocent of the crimes that they were executed for. We also know that there are people in the streets that are looking for someone that can help them. And if they can't get the help, they may be the next victim turned offender and put in prison. So we are going to end this episode now. And again, I ask you to continue to pray for these individuals behind the prison walls. And try, please try, to get more involved in helping whenever and wherever you can. Thank you once again. And we are closing this episode now. Thank you.